Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And kia ora, welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, Eco Living facilitator, team builder and host of this show. Now, Christmas, it seems to get a little bit earlier every year, it seems, and I don't want to wish us into another premature Christmas mode with all the waste that it entails, but I don't think it's actually too early to think about presents for Christmas, especially if you're posting overseas. Is it possible to give waste-free gifts, or at least gifts that involve very little waste ending up in the landfill? Now, this week, I've got Gina Dempster live on the telephone to chat about waste-free gifts for Christmas. And the reason that she's on the telephone is that Gina works with Wanaka Wastebusters as their communications officer, and she's been in the job for 13 years, so it's lucky 13. So, hello, Gina, are you there?
I am. Hello, Maureen.
Well, that's great. Okay, how exciting is this? I've got new technology, new buttons to press this week. Gina and I, you've been in the job for 13 years, so obviously you're very passionate about waste-free things. Tell me, what's it like at your house? Is there a lot of waste-free things there?
Well, it's interesting because I struggle to think of myself as waste-free, because to be truly waste-free is difficult. But I do limit the amount of waste that we create as a family as much as I can. So I take my own shopping bags and I don't use disposable plastic, and we have a Bokashi system and a garden, and we shop secondhand. Because I work at Wastebusters, that's quite easy. But I like to think of the opposite of being, or another way of being waste-free is being resourceful. So I do think of myself as quite a resourceful person, and I love to take things that have been discarded or maybe a past year best and to turn them back into something that looks fabulous. So I guess that's one of my real passions, and I'm lucky at Wastebusters to see that kind of happening every day.
So what does your house look like then? What kind of repurposed things have you got in there?
Well, I actually live in a house that was a batch that my parents built when I was tiny, and we bought it from them, and my partner's a builder, so it's an ongoing renovation project, and he is very good at taking materials that have been in one part of the house and turning them back into something that looks more fabulous in another part of the house. So we took down a very old balcony that we had, and it was made with beautiful Remu beams, which actually looked terrible. They'd been out in the weather for 30 years, but he sanded them all back and made them into a beautiful set of stairs. Mm-hmm. And it's full of kind of older retro furniture that I've reupholstered or am going to reupholster. We have many projects. it's a bit of a work in progress, and it's very random, but I love it because everything in a house has a story, and that's kind of more special to me than just going out and buying something new, especially if it's not going to last.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds cool. And it's completely unique. You know, it's your
it
creation.
Is, yeah. It's definitely unique.
Well, I think, you know, we've all got a feeling that we put out a good bit more waste at Christmas time, and it's approaching. And, you know, as individuals, you know, if we're really thinking ahead and wanting to avoid that coming up to Christmas, like what kind of statistics are there out there? Are we putting out a lot more waste at Christmas time?
Yeah, well, it's actually quite difficult to get stats about waste in general in New Zealand. We don't have very good statistics about the amount of waste we create normally, and especially at Christmas. But one that I did find locally was estimated that we increase the amount we throw away by 10% at Christmas, and recycling goes up 20%. But in Wanaka, we get so many people coming into Wanaka over the Christmas period that our recycling that we do at Wastebusters, it's 3 or 4 times higher than it is at the rest of the year. So we get a massive influx of especially bottles, beverage containers over the Christmas period. But there were some stats I found from the UK, and they were saying that the average household gets through 4 rolls of wrapping paper every Christmas and throws throws away 7 batteries. And I think that's probably, you know, reasonably applicable to New Zealand as well. And so just in the United Kingdom, they throw out 108 million rolls of wrapping paper every year. Isn't that crazy? It is crazy
because, you know, literally it's off the present and it's gone, you know.
It's so fleeting. And then, of course, there's the whole waste that you create around the presents, not really the presents, but all the packaging that the toys and gifts come in can be massive. And also food, of course, you know, they say that Christmas is the biggest waste week when it comes to food of the entire year. So that's a big part of Christmas waste too, is the food. We love to kind of have that Christmas feast, and it's very easy to over cater and then not know what to do with it the rest of the week.
That's right. And it's very much, you kind of don't feel that you want to be stingy at Christmas time. You want it to be a time of celebration and generosity. And so there's conflicting values there, isn't there?
Exactly. And I think that's the tricky thing about Christmas, is how do you balance that sense of joy and plenty? Because that's what Christmas is really, isn't it? It's about having plenty and about sharing that with the people that you love. How do you balance that with you know, not wanting to create a massive pile of waste? And I don't think any of us walks away from Christmas Day looking at that massive pile of rubbish that was created and feels good about that. So it's kind of, how can we keep the joy of Christmas but get rid of the waste side? I mean, that's what I've been struggling. I've been trying to head towards that for years, and I don't think I've cracked it. But
no.
I mean,
and we're working, works in progress.
It's a journey. Yeah,
it is. We're all on a journey. Well, look. Okay. Well, let's get into some depth then, and talk about some of these things, because, you know. Okay. So what about the presents, the things that we're giving? What can we do? What ideas have you got for some waste-free options? Come on, I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm fascinated with the whole present giving, because it is a special part of Christmas. And Christmas, you know, some people are looking at Christmas without gifts, but many people feel that it's an integral part of Christmas. And I feel that it's up to every family to find your own way through that. It's a bit of a maze. And I love asking. One thing you can do if you're just starting out is start talking to other people and ask them what their families do to celebrate Christmas with less waste. And what I've been doing this for a few years, and I find that every family has kind of found a different solution. So one family, we've got two brothers that work at Wastebusters, and they come from a very fun-filled family, very creative, a lot of acting and music in their family. And I asked them what they do, and they said that they have a secret Santa gift. So they set a price limit on it, and usually it's pretty cheap, and they go to Wastebusters and they find gifts that are fun. And that's the idea of the gift giving is more around the fun of it. And so that's how they celebrate it. And I've got my in-law family and my birth family, and one of them, we have really cut down on the amount that we're giving, and we only really buy for the kids. And we have just bought one present. Each couple buys for one other couple. And so you can put more money into the present. And what that means is that you get more choice. You know, you kind of get stuck in that price bracket where everybody has everything in that price bracket. So you're kind of just buying them stuff they've already got.
Yeah.
And they're not going to treasure. So if you're just buying for one adult or one couple, you find that you can spend a little bit more and buy something a little bit more special. Mm-hmm. So that's worked really well for us. Other people might choose to give edible things that they can enjoy together. I think that could work really well. Or they might
drink together.
Or drink together, exactly. Yeah, and we do a little bit of that in my in-law family, and that's great. It's kind of things that add to that Christmas experience, I think, can actually make the whole thing better than a whole lot of presents that you're going to walk away with. So one thing we have done in my family too is we started giving experiences. And my mother, who's a big present giver, has really bought into this. And she last year gave all the children of the family, and all the adults as well actually, a Zip Trek experience in Queenstown.
Wow.
And so we all, you know, which was quite expensive, but then when you add up the amount that you're spending on presents anyway, you might find that you're actually spending more than you think. And so we went over as a family, the whole extended family went to Queenstown, and my parents, who are in their late 70s, did the Zip Trek experience as well with the teenagers. And it was a great day, and I think the best part of the day was the teenagers watching my parents do the Zip Trek. They absolutely loved it, and it was a really great, memorable part of Christmas.
Right. It's kind of got all the elements in there. You know, it's got family, you know, doing stuff together and doing something that you wouldn't normally do. It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And seeing people out of their comfort zone is always really fun as well.
Yeah. our more Down Key thing, version of what you did was Crazy Golf.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, whatever's around and whatever suits your budget and whatever is going to be fun, you know? I don't know how my dad would go with Crazy Golf.
My mum loved it.
May not have been quite so fun. But, you know, it's thinking outside the box a little bit, I think, and thinking, what can we do together that we will look back on in a year or two and remember? Because often you look back, I can't really remember some of the presents I got 2 Christmases ago, but I'm always going to remember that Zip Trek day. It was great.
Yeah. And I guess another aspect of it is that there's so many things that we don't do that are in our own backyard and, you know, like perhaps going to the albatross colony or things like that, you know, are that little bit, you know, a little bit of a cost to it, and you tend to put it off and you know. But
it's
if you're
when,
do it together.
When you said that, the thing that jumped to my mind was the albatross colony, because it's something I've never done and I would really love to do. Mm. And it is that, you know, sometimes, especially those tourist experiences, you, as a local, you feel that they're just a bit out of your normal everyday budget. So taking the time to go and do them, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Right. Well, we can't wrap up the albatross experience in paper, but there's a few of the things that you talked about that we can wrap up. What are your ideas for gift wrap?
So gift wrap, yeah. So that's an interesting one. So we see a lot of gift wrap coming through Wastebusters. And it's interesting, for some reason, gift wrap has changed over the last probably decade, and a lot of it has plastic in it, or it's got foil in it, and that is the contaminant for recycling. So if you do end up with wrapping paper at your house that's got foil or plastic in it, that it should go into the rubbish bin, not into your recycling, even though it does feel better to put it into recycling, but it will be going in as a contaminant. So we want to keep it out. So the way you can tell whether it's got plastic in it is because it actually looks very similar to paper wrapping. Is if you just rip the edge of the wrapping, if it's got a bit of a stretch in it, you'll see it's got kind of almost a see-through stretch, like Glad wrap. Then it's got plastic in it, so then you know to keep it out of the recycling. But it is actually really difficult to tell when you buy it, because often it's I don't know why, but it's often wrapped in plastic. Mm. Or, you know, you feel kind of guilty going into the shop and trying to rip the edge of something you haven't bought.
I was just thinking about this might get into trouble.
Yeah, but often if you look for those ones that are kind of a heavier quality or a brown paper, you can usually tell if it's got that brown paper look that it's paper. And if you find a brand or a store that's selling one that's paper, you'll know that should be fine. So just stick to them if you are going to buy wrapping paper. But there are lots of creative alternatives to bought wrapping paper that can help make Christmas fun. One thing I did when my kids were younger is, you know, they create a lot of art that they churn out, and you don't want to throw it out, but you kind of, you know, you get overwhelmed with the quantity that they're producing. So I just used to put it aside and save it for Christmas and then use it as wrapping paper, and that can look really amazing.
That's an awesome idea. I love that idea. Yeah. And then they'll feel special because their picture's
exactly
going off.
Yeah, it makes it, and grandparents love it. So everybody thinks that it looks great. And it's often very bold primary colours, so it can look really amazing. Then you can also get creative with newsprint. So we have done newsprint and then found some old magazines that were going to be discarded and cut out interesting things from the magazines and put them onto the newsprint. Or
are you talking about blank newsprint? Are you talking about it?
No, we actually have. I have gone all the way and used actual newsprint before, but you could also use brown paper. So you can buy rolls of brown paper pretty cheaply, and in some ways it's not much better than wrapping paper because it is going to go back to the recycling, but you can have fun decorating it, and you know that it's got no plastic in it, and you can use dried flowers, or you can paint it, or you can make potato stamps and stamp it. There's all sorts of things you can do, and it kind of adds to that ritual of Christmas. I mean, you know, part of Christmas is creating rituals, especially if you've got kids, and that can be really nice part of the giving, is that you've taken the time to decorate it yourself instead of just buying something that's going to be thrown out.
Right, yeah. And so I guess the same goes for the cards and stuff, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That can be a really great part of Christmas. And one thing at Wastebusters, fairly, we get some books that we can't resell. So if you can find children's books at your local second-hand shop where they might be having to recycle them instead of being able to resell them, if they've got ripped pages, or sometimes libraries sell them off as well. And they're great because you can cut little illustrations out and put them onto a card, or you can get the kids to draw them and again use stencils. There's all sorts of things. You can get as creative as you want with the cards, really.
Yeah, and I guess the wrapping paper can be part of... I've gone back to wrapping paper.
can be
part of the present too, you know, like, you know, a scarf or yes. a tea towel yeah. or whatever, you know.
Yes, that can be great. And there is a great technique from Japan where they do a lot of gift wrapping in fabric. So you can actually buy in Japan squares of fabric that are reused many times for gift wrapping, and they have some amazing techniques for making different shaped parcels look stunningly beautiful. I have to admit, when I've done it, mine end up looking a bit lumpy. But I have to perfect the art of furoshiki yet. But there are lots of, if you just Google it, furoshiki, there's lots and lots of videos and illustrations about how to do it. And you can easily, there's huge amounts of fabric around these days that is unwanted or unused, so it's very easy to pick some up and just make your own little squares, and then you can reuse them many, many times. You know, you can reuse them every Christmas if you want, just pop them away in a drawer, or let the recipient keep it and they can reuse it and pass it on to someone else.
Great. And another present that a friend of mine got recently was just cloth that's had the wax added to it and been made into sandwich wrapping paper, or sandwich wrap, I should say. And that makes also, you know, obviously you can use it for your sandwiches, but you can also wrap the present that you give someone.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I actually thought of, because another thing you can do for presents is if you're crafty, you can obviously make presents, which is adds to that joy of giving and receiving. And I did think of doing, I always have great ideas, but I usually run out of time, but I did think of doing wax wraps this Christmas, but my son said to me, I think you should give them to the parents and not to the teenage kids.
<You've> still
he
got time.
Would appreciate them more than the teenagers, which maybe he was right. Yeah.
No, I've made them, and they're very, very easy. It's amazingly how easy it is to make.
They last forever too, don't they? They're incredible things.
Yeah, they are.
Last a really long time, and just saves you so much wrapping, glad wrap, and all sorts of things that you would have wrapped your food in. I think they're incredible.
Yeah, so you can buy your beeswax down at the Otago Farmers Market here for people who live here.
That's fabulous, because there was a bit of a shortage of beeswax for a while because so many people were doing it. So that's good that there's some down at the farmers market.
Oh, well, look, I haven't looked recently. That's where I got mine. I've still got a big lump of it. We've got lots of ideas here. And, I would just add my old magazines. They're really good for wrapping too.
Brilliant.
It's kind of like the things I think, I don't really want to keep a whole lot of stuff, but maybe you can either reuse them or pass them on, you know, in some way.
And it's really easy just to duck, you know, go to a neighbour's or duck down to the second-hand store if you don't have any, and you can just pick up a couple, and that's more than you're going to need for your entire Christmas, really, a couple of magazines.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, you're talking about all this, it makes it all sound fun, you know. These are fun things. And do you think that what we need to do is, you know, we're being bombarded by so much commercial stuff, you know, about things to buy for Christmas and this big deal. Do we need to kind of like step back or, you know, redefine Christmas? And how would you redefine Christmas, Gina?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, and it takes a while to do. It's about thinking what's really important about Christmas and what is it that we love about Christmas. And I know for me, and I'd say for a lot of people, it's about getting together with the people that you don't see every day, or maybe you don't see them for a whole year, and it's celebrating with them and doing things that you love together. And a big part of it is the ritual of Christmas. So especially for the kids as they grow up, they love that security of going, this is the special day and this is what we do together on that special day. And it can be really, it doesn't have to cost money. You know, we get so sucked into that trap of Christmas being about things and being about stuff and being about spending money, but it really doesn't have to be about money. That's not what we remember as the money that we spent, or not in a good way.
And it
can be as simple as, you know, like often we get together with the cousins in the morning and we'll go for a swim in the Clutha after breakfast, and it's quite cold in December, so that's very memorable. and we could often have a game of cricket on the back lawn after we have lunch. Sometimes we usually have dessert for dinner because we usually have a late lunch, and then we have all this beautiful dessert and we never get around to eating it until 7 o'clock at night, and so we have dessert for dinner. And so the kids just love that on Christmas Day you have dessert for dinner. And so those simple things, those simple kind of things that you do together, that's really what Christmas is about. It's about the joy, and it's about keeping the parts that you love and just letting go of some of those things that make us all feel bad, like the debt. You know, really, we don't want to be carrying around a debt for months from Christmas. The waste, none of us really want to be creating that kind of waste that you end up creating kind of accidentally. And it's just about keeping the things that make you happy, I think.
That's right. And Christmas, you know, partly because of debt and all the things that you feel you have to do, it can be a stressful time for people. And that's taking away the, as you say, it's about getting rid of the things that we don't want. And
it
stress
is. And I guess
stress
it's also,
is one of them.
You know, and also there are, you know, it's also about maybe looking out for those people who might not have their family here or who might be missing family at that time of year, and kind of, you know, making a little space for them as well. Because I know there are, you know, there's always lots of people who are away from their family at Christmas, or who maybe their family don't get on so well anymore or whatever. And if you can kind of include them in your celebration, it's really nice as well.
That's true. That's lovely. And, you know, being on the other side of the world from the majority of my family, I it's so, so true. And it's often a time when, you know, at any other day of the year, I could, you know, call up a friend to do something. But on Christmas Day, it feels like it's the day that families all go to their families. And,
and that can make that can make Christmas stressful in a different way.
Yeah, there's people can be lonely on Christmas. That's right.
It's just about, you know, doing the good things.
Yeah, and I loved your idea about the little rituals for children. And for me, part of it is the anticipation. You know, I remember as a child, it was so exciting, you know. And it was all these little things, it was the little rituals that led up, you know, to Christmas Day, you know.
Yeah, it is about the rituals. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, part of me always struggles with the present side. But then there's a real joy in giving presents, and there's a real joy in receiving presents as well, especially presents that show that the person has really thought about you and really knows you well and really has, and sometimes knows you better than you do yourself. So if you can find something that somebody really wants or is really going to love, then you just kind of got to embrace that sense of giving. It's not about no stuff, it's just about stuff on your own terms, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Here, look, in about 15 seconds, I'll tell you a very funny story, because my Uncle William, who never had much money, he once gave me this book, and it was about seashells, and I loved shells, and I felt really touched, and it was a library book, and I had to give it back in 3 weeks' time. Because he couldn't afford to buy me one. But however, I knew that he knew me, you know, that and that's why it was so lovely, you know.
And that is what you want from gifts, is that somebody knows you so well. But there's a perfect waste-free gift.
It certainly is, waste-free, absolutely. I hope that everyone's got some ideas now for things that we can do, and it's just a matter of maybe sitting down and brainstorming some ways to have the more waste-free Christmas.
And I think too, it's a matter of, you know, if you're thinking about making the first steps towards a waste-free Christmas, you know, obviously the wrapping and the cards are something that you can do at home without talking to your wider family, but it is sometimes just about having a conversation with your wider family and saying, and this is a good time of year to do it before people have started buying presents, and just saying, you know, how are you guys feeling about the presents? Because often once somebody starts a conversation, everybody starts going, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff, and I feel overwhelmed by the amount of stuff we're giving each other. And then kind of going, well, what is important to us as a family, and how could we just change that gradually? What could we do? One small thing we could do different this year that would make us all more comfortable with how we're giving and receiving presents. And Yes, sometimes it's just a matter of starting that conversation, but it's also not something that's comfortable to do unless you've talked to the family about it, because what can be awkward is if one part of the family is doing one thing and the other part of the family wants to do it differently.
Right.
And you find that you're kind of, you end up on Christmas Day in a situation where you don't feel like it's equal or balanced. So I think it's really good to have the conversation before you change and just find out what would make us all feel comfortable.
Okay.
And what could we all do together rather than just trying to change it on your own.
That's right. Okay. That's brilliant advice. So talk to your family before Christmas. And a really good thing to do, we're going to have to finish soon, but is to go and visit your local recycling place. And so for people who are listening, from closer to you, Gina, where should they come to?
So we, Wastecusters, we're in Alexandra and Wanaka, and we're open 9 to 5 every
right.
day. It's Christmas Day.
So Wanaka, so wastebusters.co.nz, they can find out. So thank
That's
you
right.
so much,
yep.
and thank you for, and catch you everyone next week.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and whole foods. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made with the freshest ingredients. Want fresh organic produce and grocery items delivered direct to your door? Contact Taste Nature to try one of their popular organic produce boxes or personalised grocery orders. Good food direct to you. Taste Nature. Online at tastenature.co.nz.
Chova a noite inteira.